Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. What is soon to be a snowy Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is careful out there today. If you've got to go out and travel today, obviously we are expecting some winter weather that we don't get too often in these parts. So hope everybody is careful and is aware of that out there today. And hey, if you could stay home today, just kick back and listen to a little Robbie and Rex Road for the next 4 hours. What would you rather do with your Thursday morning than that? Joe Rex Road, you are live in Knoxville, Tennessee. What's going on?
Gee, let's see. First of all, great planning on my part. You know, I'm driving through this stuff later. Also, can you hear me? Because I'm using my AirPods because I have to.
We can hear you. It doesn't sound great, but we can hear you.
So it sounds crappy like the other day.
That is correct.
God dang it. Well, somehow I forgot my stupid other earbuds. So I don't know what to do here. Beyond one, messing up the show, and then two, driving on mountains later. Yeah, that'll be really good.
There is that. Michelle, how are you doing? Are you are, I would assume, more prepared than most of us today for the type of weather we are about to experience.
Well, here's the thing. I had no idea we were getting snow or anything. And Will, our morning producer, texted me and was like, hey, let me know when you're on your way, because I might leave like 5 minutes before just to beat the snow. And I walk outside and it's like completely clear. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just such a different mindset, but I get it, because down here, like, they don't have as many salt trucks and all that stuff. People like freak out down here if you guys get snow. I was just like driving to work this morning. I was like, oh, it's supposed to snow today. So yeah, I'm prepared. I got the four-wheel drive, but hopefully it's not too bad and everybody be safe driving out there.
I was told the grocery stores yesterday have been picked over a little bit with the bread and the milk. I don't know why bread and milk is always the go-to. Like, everybody's going to run out of bread and milk and eggs.
This isn't a 30-day thing. It's like a 2-day thing.
Yeah. Like, this is not going to take very long. Now, I will say, we got one snowstorm last year up in my neck of the woods in Greenbrier, where I was like pretty much snowed into my house for like a week. That's mainly based on where I live. Like, it's at the bottom of a gigantic hill, so there was no getting up that hill. So like, I had to walk places. It was quite something. It was like going back in time.
Yeah, we don't want that. And if that's the case, then I can be okay with bread and milk, you know? But it doesn't, I think this stuff's going to melt Monday, right?
Hopefully.
I think so.
It'll probably be 75 degrees. Last winter in New York, so my mom and my sister are just about 5 foot tall, and it was up past their elbows. Isn't that insane?
Wow. Good gracious. You talk about it, that would shut down our city for a month.
We wouldn't even know what to do ourselves.
Yeah. We wouldn't even know what to do. We'll keep you updated as best we can on the snow coming in. Supposed to be coming in over the next couple of hours, and we've got, we were expecting, I think, 2 to 3 inches around there, depending on where you live overnight. And I woke up this morning, and apparently it could be a little bit more than that now, according to some of the forecasts, depending on where you live again. So make sure you keep an eye on that and are vigilant to that today. It's Liam on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text again says, yeah, this was at my Publix last night, and it's just a picture of like the meat section and poultry. Everything's gone. Just totally empty. at Liam's local Publix last night. So apparently it wasn't just the milk and the bread. It's everything people are gobbling up.
I mean, it's going to be 46 on Saturday. It's going to be 53 on Sunday.
I think we'll come probably
on,
be all right.
Come on, guys. I mean, get some food for the next couple of days. That's great, you know, but you don't have to. You're not hibernating for the winter.
We are not hibernating for the winter. Joe Rexroad, you were in Knoxville last night. I'll be honest, I watched a few minutes of it and then was reminded why I don't watch college basketball until March. It was brutal. What was that game like between Ole Miss and Tennessee? Offensively, it was a struggle.
Well, if every game was like that, I might join you in that. But yeah, it was bad. It was just one of those games. I think, you know, Kenny Chandler coming off COVID, John Fulkerson also, and John Fulkerson became the all-time leader in games played, which is what happens when you play an 11-year career. You know, those guys both seem to me to be really affected by it, or, you know, just not all the way themselves. And Chandler had 7 turnovers. It was, you know, they were just totally discombobulated. And, you know, we know Kermit Davis around here. I mean, he mixes those defenses, and last night it was mostly the 2-3. He's got the 1-3-1, the 2-3, and then you know, man defense, and they did a great job. But Vescovy saved the day. 3 huge threes. He had a 4-point play, and then, you know, in overtime he had a big one. I really like Zakai Ziegler, the freshman who's, you know, we're 5'7", or well, I guess he's officially 5'9" point guard. He is little. But, man, he was on that winning time lineup last night instead of, like, a wing, like a Bailey or a Powell to go with Chandler, to go with Vescovy. So, yeah, they pulled it out. It was one of those games where it's like, you know, you played bad, but you still won. And this defense is – I mean, they're the number 2 defense by efficiency numbers in the country.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and you pointed this out, I think, on Twitter last night. You know, it was a bad game, but when you play defense the way that Tennessee plays defense, sometimes you can survive games like that. And it really is incredible. Like, going back to the conversation we had with Mike Wilson yesterday of, you know, that Tennessee team last year, pretty darn good defensively, and you had some big-time defensive players on that squad. This team's pretty darn good defensively too, and I don't know that I expected that quite as much and quite to the same degree as we saw from a year ago. So that just goes to show you, number 1, defense travels, and number 2, when you can't shoot the ball, defense can keep you in a game like it did last night for the Vols.
Well, and Vescovy is the guy who, to me, is so much better, and his name is different, so, you know.
It is.
You know, I think that his name change is going over better than Garantano to Garantano. I think Vescovy to Vescovy is going over much better. And he's the leader of that defense now. And, well, 2 years ago, it was like, please hide him somewhere. You don't want him to be guarding any guards in the SEC. This year, he definitely got better, but he's taken another step. It's guys like that who, you know, you might have for 4 years who take steps every year. That's how you build really good teams in college basketball. Or you go out, you recruit from other teams, which is what Calipari is doing now, and go in the portal and get older guys. But older players who, you know, are seasoned and just, you know, like you can't fake that experience. They're going to have Kennedy Chandler for 1 year. He's incredible. He's going to be in the NBA. But maybe Zakai Ziegler is going to be here 4 years, and by the end there, he could be an all-time UT favorite. You got to have those players who, like, you know you're going to have for a while. And Vescovy is becoming a really good player in the SEC.
So the Vols escape with a win last night against Ole Miss, and we'll see got LSU coming up. We'll see if you can have a better bounce back offensive performance against them. Probably going to need it against LSU would be my guess as they move forward here. Jeffy on Twitter says, no milk, no bread, and no toilet paper in the stores where I live. That's tough luck. Tough luck, Jeffy. That's not good. I got a text that says, I had to wait until payday, which is today, to buy groceries. Unfortunately, up here in Clarksville, all the grocery stores have been completely sold out for days. So I guess I'm out of luck. We're supposed to get at least 6 inches of snow today. So I guess it's kind of warranted. Oh, well, can't wait for the game this weekend.
This
well,
is insane.
Hope you enjoy the game. That's what we do.
Does this always happen? Much. Does this always happen when you guys get snow?
Every single time.
This is wild.
Without exception.
Yeah, it's a little bit extreme. But the next, I mean, hey, I hope in the next couple of days you make a lot of sandwiches, drink a lot of cereal, and have a lot of use for your toilet paper, you know? I mean,
Joe.
Just have a party. Just have a party.
That's right. Just if you're going to get all those stuff, I hope you enjoy it thoroughly. Hope that apparently the poultry has been a big go-to item this week. So lots of chicken people apparently making tonight as they're getting snowed in. So hope everyone enjoys their chicken, their bread, and their milk. Going to be a great time. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line. As Liam points out, on the plus side, you don't need toilet paper if you can't find food. Thank you, Liam. We appreciate that. On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll get into Derrick Henry returning to practice yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. Some nice videos out there. How did number 22 look? What did Mike Vrabel have to say about it? We'll get into all that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The college football championship is here, and to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-to-1 enhanced odds on either team to win. That means you can bet $5 and win $150 on either team to win it all. Personally, I like Alabama in this game. I just trust Nick Saban more than I do Kirby Smart. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code ROB and make a deposit to claim your 30-to-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the college football championship than on America's number one sportsbook. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. So don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet on the college football championship. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app or head to sportsbook.fanduel.com and sign up using promo code ROB to get 30-to-1 odds on either team to win. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager a designated offer market. A max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Do you think he is to kind of be at this part of the process, and how much of
I don't know. I'm not going to speak for his excitement. I'm excited. I can speak on my excitement to coach this football team, to have a chance to go on the road and do everything we can to try to win. That's what I'll speak on.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference. Derrick Henry back on the practice field yesterday for the Titans, and Joe, it didn't seem like Vrabel was too interested in talking much about Derrick Henry yesterday. Just the vibe I got from that press conference yesterday.
Stunning, stunning. I thought that he'd want to sit there and, you know, just have a full on, you know, and really just break down the surgery, the rehab, like show some pictures of the bone, and then just talk specifically about how one player, it's all about one player and not really the team. You know, this is the press conference I expected. By the way, how is this sounding? Is this sounding any better without my stupid?
Yes, it does. Stupid. Okay. Yes, it does.
I love those things, but obviously they're not working well for this. So good.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised like Vrabel didn't come up there with, you know, the game plan for Sunday for Henry. Like, all right, we're going six snaps. He's going to go inside zone here. And we'll just figure it out from there. But yeah, not much interest in talking to a whole lot about Derrick Henry yesterday from Mike Vrabel.
Get into like, you know, some of my position coaches, I'm really thinking about firing them. what else would Vrabel love to do at a press conference? Yeah, you know, just talk about it, go through the whole injury list, you know, with a lot of specifics. Yeah, that was a very quick pivot for him. You know, even though I know he wasn't going to be all geeked about, I mean, it was a short presser, but it was a quick, like, okay, anybody else want to talk about something else? But, you know, I think that most of the questions about Derrick Henry had been asked, and there wasn't a, I mean, there's not a lot to say right now because he's obviously not going to tip his hand on what they're going to do. Sure. I don't know, unless maybe you read more into it than I did. I didn't have a great feeling either way for what they're going to do based on what he said yesterday.
I did not either. It was interesting to see the videos come out of Derrick Henry running around yesterday. As we mentioned, lots of great videography on the Titans. None quite like our own Joe Rexroads, but I did think Ben Arthur's little mashup that he had and edited together clips that he used on iMovie was good stuff, number one. And number two, I mean, Derrick Henry looks like he's moving well out there. That's not a big surprise to me that they've let him back on the field at this point, and it looks like he's moving well. Now, as you know, as I hope everyone would recognize, there's still a pretty big difference between running well at practice and getting in a game and doing it. And yeah, I guess you won't really know how you respond to that until you're in the game at that point. But Derrick Henry looked good on those videos yesterday, which is encouraging to see, I guess, if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah. He looks like exactly like Derrick Henry. Doesn't look like he, you know, had too many like holiday cookies or anything like that. So
does not.
Yeah. Like, I guess actually TD pointed out, I mean, TD got an eye for detail, pointed out that his cleats are different. You know, a little bit of more high top, which I have no idea. Is that, I mean, I know obviously, you know, high top cleats, you know, you think of ankles with that, right? You know, if you're going to wear a little bit more cleat, a little bit more shoe, that's ankle protection. But maybe that's has something to do with, you know, coming off this injury or something, a little bit of a precaution. Yeah, good videos, good editing, good Derrick Henry running, and here we go. We'll see. I still don't think we're going to see him Sunday, but I could be wrong. What are they going to do today on the practice field if they got snow all over the place?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, I guess they'll go inside today in the bubble. So getting ready for that NRG Stadium. I don't even know is Houston Stadium still called NRG? I'm not even sure.
I think so, yeah.
I think it is. Get ready for that NRG Stadium turf coming up.
I think they're still sponsored, so good for them.
Davis Mills could probably fetch him a few sponsorships out there.
He's got major, major potential. You know, you can really stretch that dollar with Davis Mills, you know.
Oh, man, you sure can. So, look, I don't know whether or not Derrick Henry is going to play on Sunday. I still, I guess, have my doubts that we're going to see that. But I think it's pretty clear they're not going to tip their hand on that one way or the other, at least right now, when it comes to Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry. So something to keep your eye on this week at Titans practice is Derrick Henry out there every day? You know, what does that look like in terms of him getting ready to go come playoff time? In the meantime, there is a game to play coming up on Sunday, and Julio Jones back out there yesterday as well for the Titans. So good to see number two back out there. You know, there was, you know, a couple of people that on our text line that floated around the idea of, you know, just saving him. Don't need to play him on Sunday against Houston and get him ready for the playoffs. I disagree. I think Julio Jones needs every single snap he can get. Look, if you're worried about him getting hurt, which I understand, I mean, he's been hurt a lot this year. Like, I'm no more worried about him getting hurt in Houston than I would be the second snap of the game in the playoffs. So I think he needs to be out there as much as he can be out there.
Yeah, I'd agree. Now, it is worth noting that Julio was a partial participant, so he didn't do everything. Now, you know, on Wednesdays, we know on Wednesdays, a lot of times that's a planned thing. We'll see if that changes. If it doesn't change through the week, then I guess that means it's bothering him a little bit. I guess if that's the case, if he went through the whole week and he was limited, I guess I could see why maybe you don't play him in this game, but I agree with you. I mean, I think unless you actually have a setback or you have an ongoing, you know, issue with it, then I don't think that you sit him as a precaution. Got to try to get that passing game going. And I think you got to play him. ESPN had a stat last night. Now this is an advanced stat because it's with them on the field. So obviously it's not just like in games they play, but with the three of those players on the field, Brown, Jones, Derrick Henry, like in three stats, it's like yards per attempt, yards per carry, and another, I forget the, but all number one in the NFL on those plays when they have those three guys on the field. And again, you know, it hasn't happened a ton this year.
Yeah.
So, but that a little bit of a glimpse there. It's not like it's been exactly what everybody hoped, obviously, with this offense, but when they've had it, they have had some moments where it's like, okay, you can see where this could be special. And, you know, it's possible they're coming all the way back around here in the playoffs to having most of their, you know, expected going into the season starters starting in this playoff game after, you know, as we know, having, you know, starting with 50 some players or whatever it is on the year.
Which I think that's why if you're a Titans fan, you got to be pretty excited about this group heading into the playoffs. Now, I think there's a couple of different ways that you can view it, and I kind of view it both this way of, yeah, I'm excited to see what this offense can look like when it's back to quote-unquote full strength and you've got your starting players back in there. I also, especially like if Derek doesn't play on Sunday, and let's say Julio's limited and you've got guys easing back in there, by the time the first game of the playoffs come around, like how realistic is it to expect them to be, you know, firing on all cylinders when they've all really not played together much at all this season? That to me is a legitimate question heading into the playoffs.
Sure it is. No doubt. But that's also why, you know, like, you know, if the defense, and now you got Long back in there, you got the secondary that you want, I think, especially the way Jenkins has played of late. You know, I mean, I think with the way Jenkins has played last couple games, Molden, you know, we know what Fulton can do. Like, the defense, you get all of those pieces all together, and, you know, that can – you feel great about that. You know, you feel great about them picking up the offense if needed. And then, you know, you hope that even if it's not on all cylinders, like, you've got enough playmaking there, you know, offensively. You may not have to score a ton of points the way this defense is playing.
Yeah, now there are people acting in the national media circles that, like, Nashville is some tropical destination, too, of, man, like, if the Titans end up with the one seed, could be nice for, like, Kansas City or Indy or so-and-so to walk into Nashville in January rather than having to go somewhere really cold. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess it could be warm in Nashville in the playoffs. It could also be 8 like it's going to be tomorrow. Don't really know.
Yeah, it's certainly like if you're comparing it to Buffalo, then okay, then you got a chance at something better for sure. I guess Cincinnati probably too, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee at all. I mean, well, shoot, I mean, the Chiefs, I mean, that place can kind of vary widely, but that, you know, that team has played in some big playoff games when it was absolute, like, get out of the, you know, like, get quickly into the stadium, you're going to get frostbite. So, I mean, it's not like they can't play in that stuff anyway.
Well, I wasn't there, but I don't, if memory serves me correctly, the AFC title game was not overly warm at Kansas City. Is that correct?
Oh, it was very cool. Now, it wasn't the absolute freezer game of a couple years earlier.
Oh man,
when suck up hit that. That was painfully, dangerously cold. Like, it was unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, it was a very cold day in Kansas City. I mean, I'm pretty sure when they lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game at home, yeah, that was a very cold day. So, you know, I guess the idea being, you know, Mahomes, give him some better weather in the passing game will operate better. I saw quick mention of who was this, by the way.
I can't remember. I have to go back and find it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think that was the motivation behind it. You can throw the ball better in Nashville. Like, okay, well, maybe we'll see.
Another thing to get Titans fans mad.
I guess so. By the way, very quickly going back to the name change from Vescovi to Vescovi. Ben on the text line saying it's like going from Sciatica to sciatica. There you go. Well done, Ben.
Sciatica to Sciatica.
Very well done, Ben. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans to begin the 7 o'clock hour. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Right now, in first place in the Central Division, do Preds fans believe this team has what it takes to make a deep playoff run? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tonight for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the LA Kings. The Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 9:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So Joe Rex Road, here we sit. We are in the first week of January, and the Nashville Predators are in first place in the Central Division. They're 21-11-2. They are ahead of the Blues right now at the moment for first place, and Colorado, who is quickly approaching behind them, who have also played in five fewer games than the Predators have at this point. They are 4 points behind the Nashville Predators. So it's not exactly an overly clear picture of the Central Division right now based on the amount of games that people have played. But the point remains, the Predators are in a spot right now in January that pretty much nobody thought they would be in heading into the season. And had they been in this spot, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I don't think too many people would have batted an eye, and we would have said, yeah, they are one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They are a contender for the Stanley Cup, and that's just what they are. Given what the expectations were heading into this season, I still wonder how skeptical some are about this team, even as they sit in first place here today. So I ask you, Joe Rexroad, the record is what it is. Your top players are playing like we've been calling for the top players to play for the last 3 years at this point. And you got a goaltender that you have to feel great about right now. Do you buy the Nashville Predators as a legitimate contender in the Western Conference? Or do you still need to see more at this point before you get there?
I think I'm going to go with need to see more when you talk contender. I picked them to go to the playoffs going in. To be clear, they're absolutely exceeding what I thought they would do. 21-11-2, and the way they're playing, it starts with the top guys and the way they're playing. So it's the thing that I like about it that makes it possible to embrace the idea of being a contender is, I don't think anyone is playing like completely outside themselves. Now, I think Forsberg, yeah, I'd be realistic and think that, we've seen Forsberg. He has ups and downs. He's probably got a dry spell coming. Right now, you ride it when he's rolling like this. But obviously, well-documented. I mean, Matt Duchene still sitting there with 29 points in 30 games. Granlund has just been so good. As a creator, you're talking about 25 assists in 32 games, 30 points. And Yossi, like all their top players, Johansson sitting there with 10 goals and 17 assists. Their top players have just played like top players. They've played to their contracts. So it's not like they've got a bunch of guys who have come out of nowhere. I think if it was a bunch of guys who came out of nowhere to do things that you totally wouldn't have expected. Maybe you think, okay, that's not going to last. There's going to be a regression there. And maybe some people would say that about Tanner Jeannot, but I don't think so. I mean, I think that he's kind of in the early stages of a career where he's going to be one of those guys in this league who has that combination of incredible toughness, physicality, enforcement kind of guy, who also has the skill to get you, 15, 20 goals in a lot of years. So I'm just going through the, And then Soros has just been, I mean, I think we can say Soros is Soros now, right? Misses him. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I definitely buy them as a good team. We know how this tournament goes. I mean, you can't sit here and say there's zero chance that any kind of team, if you know a team's going to be in the playoffs, you can't rule them out, right? But I still, like, I look at, like, Colorado. You know, when it comes down to it in a seven-game series, would I like the Preds against them? I don't know. I would still think that Colorado in particular, you know, is a team that I think is better than the Preds. I mean, they just said, by the way, that Cole McCarr goal the other day, my God.
It's insane.
That was absolutely outrageous. So I guess I'm saying I want to see more. Like, I want to still see, okay, let's do another month of, like, Duchesne, Johansson, everybody like that, doing what they're doing. And I guess even if it stays like this all the way, I guess I'm still going to be a little bit skeptical that they can win three series. But I don't know. You tell me. Maybe I'm being too hesitant.
Well, look, when I look at the Western Conference, I think Colorado's top level is better than the Predators. I think Vegas's top level is better than the Predators. You know, you can make an argument for maybe, you know, a Calgary when they're really at their top level. I really like the makeup of their team too. I'm not really sure what to think of Minnesota right now. I love Dean Evason as their coach. I like a lot of pieces that they have. It's also Minnesota, and it kind of feels like they do this a lot, and then they fade when it matters the most. So I don't really know what to make of them. And then there's Edmonton, who they've got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but they're not good. I mean, the only reason that team is afloat right now is Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and their goaltending is absolutely awful. So I don't really know what to make of them either. So I say all that to say, if this is what the Predators are playing like heading into the playoffs, yeah, they're a contender in the Western Conference. Now, are they the favorite? No. Colorado and Vegas, I still think, are the two best teams in the Western Conference. But, I mean, as we know, part of making a deep run in the playoffs is also the matchup you get. And, you know, if Colorado ends up winning the division, which, again, I still think is probably the most likely outcome here, if you're the Predators and you can hang around in the top two in the division or the top three, you avoid them in the first round. Well, if you're taking on a St. Louis or a Minnesota or a Winnipeg or whoever in that first round of the playoffs, and it's not named Colorado and Vegas, I think you got a shot against any of those teams based on the way that you played. So a lot of it to me depends on kind of how the bracket shakes out. But if you're telling me, like, this is what the Predators are, like the way they played through 34 games where you got five guys, and we talked about this on Preds Insiders the other night, you have five guys right now in January who are basically point-per-game players. I mean, I know Johansson didn't get on the board last game, so he's 4 points off of being a point-per-game player. But you have Josi at 30 points, Granlund at 30, Duchesne 29, Forsberg 27, and Johansson 27. You got five guys that are essentially point-per-game guys at this point. I'd have to go back and look. I don't think that's ever been the case this deep into a season where the Predators have had five guys like that. I could be wrong. I need to go back and look, and maybe, you know, maybe 06, 07, then everybody's just lighting it up and maybe they had that. But it's been a while since they've had that like this. The one question offensively that I've had and to a certain degree still have is, do they have enough secondary scoring? Like, you feel good about Tanner Janot. You know, Colton Sissons, I think, has played well. Yakov Trenin's come on a little bit as of late. I do think Cunning's played better. Tolvanen's kind of gone back into a dry spell a little bit. So I do wonder if you have enough secondary scoring. But you feel great about your top of your lineup right now. What I think is a really underrated part of this year that most people aren't talking about, this is as good as I've felt about a group of six on defense that they've had in a long time. Yeah, I mean, Josi and Fabro, when they're together, I think have been really good. I've liked Carrier and Ekholm. But how often, Joe, we talked about and taken texts about third defense pair in the last 3 years? Like, it's just been constant from Predators fans. And I think when everybody's healthy, the six is pretty clearly defined. Like, I think Borowiecki and Benning have done an outstanding job in that role. I think there's a gigantic drop off to Ben Harper and Philip Myers, but I think the six that they have is a big strength of this team. And then, of course, there's UC Saro. So I say all that to say, I'm not seeing a whole lot of weakness with this group right now.
Philip Myers did get a point the other night, by the way. So
it's a nice shot. Yep.
Just for the record. He did. I think those are all good points. I mean, they're sound and solid, and that probably is the thing. Secondary scoring. I mean, Nick Cousins, you know, has gotten on the board a couple times lately. Yep. You know, it's one of those things where do you get – as you get, you know, into the dog days, what does that do to like a Tomasino? I mean, sometimes, you know, a rookie in the full grind of this league, I mean, that can be really tough. Also, though, you know, you could see him, you know, in the later months of the season kind of breaking through a little bit. I mean, he's a guy to keep an eye on as that goes. And you're still with Tolvin, you're talking about, you know, 5 goals and 12 points in 34 games. I mean, you're hoping that at some point he – and that's the exact same numbers for Cunning, but you're hoping that at some point Tolvanen can get on a heater too. I still think that that's and he had a mini one not long ago, right? But
yeah,
but yeah. You know, that would be a big deal for this team. But yeah, like if those top, yeah, that's an interesting point on those five guys. Like I'm trying to think back, even like the. Like when they had Arvidsson and Forsberg Johansson, but they really didn't have, they wouldn't have had, you know, you got Craig Smith and some of those guys, but not that pace, not that kind of pace. Yeah. Or Yossi maybe, but not five. I mean, that's, and Granlund again is just so like Granlund of all those guys, you know, Forsberg gets hot and cold and all that stuff. Yossi and Granlund, I guess, would be the two guys, like what their jobs are. They are, man, they are just doing them at such a high level. And you feel like you can rely on that. Probably be good to see Duchesne get one in the back of the net here soon. Not that I'd call this a cold streak, but he was just on, you know, he was just playing at such a high level. But if that all maintains at the top, I certainly don't see how they even flirt with like not making the playoffs. And yeah, they'd probably be in that 2-3 series.
I agree. And the Duchesne thing to me, you know, you would love to see him back. He hadn't scored since November 27th. So he has not scored a goal since November 27th at Colorado, which normally be like, oh boy, that's not good. I still think he's playing really good hockey, and the assists are coming there. Like he's still basically a point per game guy. So that tells me if he keeps playing this way, those goals are going to start to go back in eventually. You know, we talked about it at the time. His shooting percentage at one point was like at 20%, 25%. It was absurdly high. We knew that it was going to come down. How was he playing even when the puck wasn't going in? He still seems to be playing pretty darn well. So to me, that's encouraging if you're a Predators fan, and hopefully the puck starts to go back in for him. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Do you buy the Nashville Predators as a contender in the Western Conference, or do you need to see more? Hit up our text line, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, you can buy $100 and get $50 to the Woodhouse Spa in Nashville. You could save 75% off at Nashville Armory, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation, and get $50 free with a $100 purchase in downtown dollars. You can check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are talking Nashville Predators and taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Nate texting in says, I still need to see the Preds convincingly beat the Penguins, the Blues, and the Lightning of the world. Most importantly, Forsberg needs to be signed to be a true contender. This is coming from Nate on the text line.
Why? He has to be signed for the future to be a contender this year?
I mean, right now he's on the team. So, I hear what you're saying. Like, I guess if your thought process is, if he's not signed, David Poile is going to trade him away, then yeah, losing Philip Forsberg not be great in terms of the contender status. But I mean, right now he's on the team. He's got 17 goals in 25 games. So I talked about this yesterday. I'm a big fan of the not letting Philip Forsberg walk out of your door for nothing. But I also fully expect that if this is what the Predators are and this is the position they're in come trade deadline time, there is no way they're trading him.
Yeah, I would think that too. What if Poile did anyway? What if they're like in first and Poile's like, well, you know, pulls off that gets a big bundle and gets Forsberg back. The team fades. Then what? People would be, I mean, like, how, people wouldn't even know how to react, you know?
Because it's been, I know,
there's been so much like, you better trade him, Poile. And now it's like, please don't trade him, Poile.
it's all Vingan's fault. Just totally reversed.
That's true. Well, you know, I'm sure Vingan, the Preds absolutely cannot trade Philip Forsberg column is coming. And then what will that do to everybody's performance?
That's right. Will in Kentucky texting in says, playoffs, yes. A deep run would be a surprise for this Predators team. I think Will speaks for a lot of Predators fans there of, you know, the playoffs at this point. I'm not saying they're a certainty because anything can happen. We saw last year. Anything can happen. So there's still a lot of work to do before the playoffs are a guarantee. If you go by percentages right now, Predators are pretty darn high percentage to make the playoffs at this point. So I feel good about them being a playoff team. You know, the deep run part of it, I mean, the deep run part of it's just so hard to figure out because, you know, I think the Predators had the team to make a deep run, obviously, when they won the President's Trophy in 2018, and they're out in the second round. Now, is Game 7 in the second round a deep run in your mind? I mean, for some people, maybe. For some people, it's not. It, you know, what is a deep run, I think, kind of differs from person to person. But that's the part of this that's always so difficult to figure out because, like, there's always teams every year in the NHL that look like they're so well-positioned for a deep run, and then they get bounced in the first round. Like, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the last 3 years, they're like, oh, yeah, this looks like a team that they might be able to make some noise, and then they just can't get out of their own way in the first round. So that part of it in this sport especially is very difficult to figure out.
Yeah, and I mean, so like the year the Preds lost to the Jets and the, you know, unfortunately that series had to be a second round series. You know, they got to set. I mean, I don't know. I guess technically that wasn't a deep run. But, you know, that series was, you know, you thought was like, okay, that's possibly the two best teams in the league, or it's two of the best, what, three, four teams in the league playing each other in the second round. So,
yeah,
I mean, to me, that wasn't like a shockingly early exit for even for a President's Trophy winner. It was, it's when you had to play them. I mean, I guess a deep run by definition is a conference final, typically. Is that how people look at it?
Yeah.
In all likelihood, I mean, there's a good chance the Preds would see the Avs in the second round if they got through the first round. So, if you had a great series against them, kind of like, I mean, look, I thought Carolina, I thought that was a good playoff performance by the Preds last year against a better team. You know, they didn't quite pull it out, but they were right there with a chance to. So if you had a really good series against Colorado and succumb to an extremely talented team, how would that be viewed?
Well, there's two things that I think if you're a Predators fan, you feel really good about in terms of this team and the playoffs. Number one, I think the style in which they play is very conducive to playoff hockey. Like, I think the way that they want to play now under John Hines is the way that you need to play in the playoffs. And quite frankly, like, if you are a team like Colorado or Vegas, who I don't think there's any question about it, has more skill than the Predators do and are more high octane, the Predators are kind of the team that you look at that you don't really want to play. Like, that's the style you don't really want to get into if you're one of those teams. So that part of it is interesting to me. And then, of course, the other part is the great equalizer in this sport is, like, if you're telling me UC Saros is going to play like this, you've got a chance against anybody. Like, you're going to give yourself a chance. And maybe you're not favored against everyone. I don't think that's the case at all. But UC Saros, if he's playing the way he's played so far this year, he's going to give you a chance against everybody. Now, I think that's part of the Carolina series last year, too, is he was just so good that you hung around, and you gave him a run. Now, ultimately, Carolina was too good, and they got past you. And, you know, the odds are that would happen again at some point to the Predators with Colorado or Vegas. But with Saros playing the way he's played for basically a calendar year at this point, you got to feel pretty good about that.
I mean, if things continue roughly as they are, I would argue that you Preds fans should feel as good about this team in the postseason and its chances to do something as they felt since that 2018, the series we were just talking about against Winnipeg. Yeah. I mean, even in 18-19, that was a very kind of frustrating up and down season. I think they were favored against Dallas, but you know, it was sort of a toss-up series, and there's an example of a team that physically in a playoff series got battered and lost because of it. And I mean, the top forwards did nothing in that series other than Rocco Grimaldi.
Yeah.
And you know that. So even going into that, I don't think there was a ton of optimism. And then obviously we know the bubble in 20, and then you know last year it was sort of like, wow, heck of a job getting in. And it was good. It was a good showing. But I think going into the playoffs, if this team keeps playing like this, it would be the best feeling about this team and the most cause for optimism since 2018. So 4 years earlier,
which is pretty incredible to think about. We're talking about that with this group, but that's a credit to what they've done and what they pulled off so far. Brian texting in says the playoffs, the Preds should do well. They're a heavy team now. They've got a money goalie and solid defense. Just hope they can score enough. And that's going to be really, you know, the big question is, you know, you're getting some good production right now from your money players. To me, it's a necessity that has to continue to give yourself a shot coming down the stretch here. Like we talked about that heading in, but now that we've seen it for 30 plus games at this point, I agree with Vingan. Like, I don't think it's a fluke. I think these guys are playing really well at this point, and you should expect them to be productive as they move forward here. But that's obviously you got to have that if you're this team in order to give yourself even a chance come playoff time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and that's it's amazing. Again, sometimes when we talk about this team and it's a great description. They're a heavy team. You know, it's for so long they've not been a heavy team at all. But it's good. It's good to be a heavy team. There's some recent examples of that. I'd say the St. Louis kind of come out of nowhere and to win it all. That there's an example of being a heavy team, being a heavy team and benefiting from it.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about it. We'll come back. We'll switch gears, get back into the Tennessee Titans. Take a look at the quarterbacks in the AFC playoff picture. Where does Ryan Tannehill stack up among AFC quarterbacks? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.